Amen. Some great songs tonight. I love Rock of Ages. I love that last song we sang. And the main thing for me is that they are scriptural. Amen. That they're spiritual. And it's nice when they're singable. That helps too. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. The plan for tonight was to continue in Genesis chapter 15, but I've been wrestling with that really a lot today, but over the last couple of days. And sometimes, I don't know if it's me or the Spirit working, but you just feel compelled to switch gears. And so you just pray that I got it right, because I feel like we need to switch gears tonight. So we're going to. If I got it wrong, as always, it's your fault because you didn't pray hard enough. See, I learned blame shifting a long time ago, and I'm really perfecting it. I know, right? I've been married for 19 years. Blame shifting is I've really perfected it. I was really good at it growing up, too. My sister's 5 years older than me, and she was, when we were growing up, she was really evil. Older sisters, amen. Got a big amen from the back row back there. Thank you. I see that hand, Dave. I feel like this is the right thing tonight. And you know, we were in prayer meeting before services, and I mentioned that I was kind of wrestling with tonight. And I know some of you guys understand that. Maybe some of you don't. But that's where we're at. I want to share with you tonight some things actually that we've been studying on Monday night with the men's group. And we've been going through a study called The Steps of a Good Man. These lessons were put together by the late Pastor Eldon Martin. And just a great study. It's been encouraging. But the last several weeks, we've been studying about the church. And I just feel compelled tonight to remind you all and myself and just encourage one another in the Lord that the local church is still important. Amen. That it still matters, that it's still valuable. And it's critical for the work that God's called us to. And the men have been studying that, like I said, for the past several weeks. I just want to share some of that with you tonight. So let's pray together, and then we're going to pick up at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 11. But before we read the scriptures together tonight, Brother Bildon, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And we're going to stop right there. I just want to walk through this with you a little bit, and I'm going to share with you an acrostic for the word church to help you remember what church is all about. Now, this starts where Jesus, when he died on the cross, we know that he descended to what we would call hell, the place of the dead. The Bible says that he preached to the captives there. He was gone for 3 days, and he rose again that third day. Amen. We sang about that, right? Amen. His body began to breathe, and the angels were roaring in heaven, and what an incredible scene that must have been. And they were rejoicing, and now we rejoice with them. We get to rejoice forevermore. But it says in that in that his death and his resurrection and then later his ascension 40 days later, that when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And what he did was he established leadership in the churches to carry on the work that he established for us to do. And we see a progression there, a history there. But we know that today that he's given pastor teachers for the churches, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here it is. It's the pastors and teachers' jobs, the leaders in the church, to equip the saints, to equip the people in the church, to that we can all do the work of the ministry together. Amen. Amen. Everybody see that? And I know you guys understand that. We want to continue to work and to continue to strive and to continue to put off wrong things and put on right things so that we can do that work together, because he's called us all to do the work. Amen. And he gives us this picture, this analogy of what the church is here in this text and in other places as well. But the church, what does it say, is the body of Christ, all right? The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head, which means that he is above all things. He's before all things. He is more important than everything else. He's greater than everything else. And he's in control of the body, all right? So when the head is in control of the body, the body's healthy and it's working right. When the head isn't in control of the body, then something's wrong and the body is sick and something's not right. The same thing, we see that physically, we see that spiritually as well. Amen. If the church is not controlled by Christ, then something's not right. Amen. So we want to make sure we're controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ because we are his body. And then we also understand this. Each member of the church is a different body part and we need every part to work together. Amen. Right? Every part is important, every part is vital, and you might think that some parts are more important than other parts, and I'm going to tell you, you don't ever think much about your little baby toe until you stub that thing and break it, and then it becomes very important. Amen. Right? Never think about it. Doesn't even matter. But when it's not working right or when it's injured, it matters. I'm telling you, things that you don't think about, they just don't matter. Like your big toe, those matter too. When I was in high school, I had to have some ingrown toenails cut out. Anybody ever had that done? Let me tell you about it. It was awesome. I would make Ben pass out. I could tell about the procedure, and he would just pass out right where he's at. I watched the whole thing, and it was pretty cool. But then they were done, and they wrapped those toes up. But what I didn't realize is they were still numb. You know how hard it is to walk when you can't feel your big toes? They matter. Now, you don't think much about them, and I try to keep mine covered up most of the time for your sake, but, I mean, the things that we think of that don't matter, they actually matter a lot. Amen. And in the body of Christ, some people are like, well, I just don't matter. I'm not out front. Like, I'm not preaching. I'm not teaching. I'm not singing, so I don't matter. But you do matter. Amen. Because every part of the body matters. Amen. And so we all fit together as a body. And listen, Jesus, check this out. We're going to kind of skip ahead because we got other stuff to talk about, but look at it. We want to grow up in maturity. Healthy bodies grow. Amen. We want to grow up in maturity. Christ is the goal. Amen. So until we're like Jesus, we haven't arrived yet. Amen. So we're going to keep growing. Christ is the goal until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we're all the way like Jesus. We haven't finished growing yet. And so we're going to keep growing all of our lives. And we don't want to be tossed around with different doctrine and different ideas of men, but we want to be established on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And then we want to speak the truth in love, grow up in him in all things, which into him in all things, which is Christ, the head. And then verse 16, from Christ, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What's that mean? It means that Christ, the head, has put us together as a body. He's placed each one of us where we belong, and he has joined us together, and all of us are supplying to one another. Amen. Just like your body parts that you have. You have your nervous system and the electrical impulses that flow through every part of your body, just like the blood flow that flows through every part of your body. Jesus is supplying that, and it flows through each one of us to each one of us. Amen. Everybody get that? Amen. So it matters. And we get that. When body parts aren't working right, or when they're missing, when someone is dismembered, that's a bad thing.
Amen.
And we want to all be together, stay together, and supply to one another in the church. And that's the picture that he gives us. Now, I want to give you a simple acrostic for all of my note takers out there. All of the note takers, you are gold star students tonight. And I want you to write down the letters for church. It's spelled C-H-U-R-C-H. That's the limits of my spelling ability right there. The letter C, the first C, stands for Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples, he said, upon this rock himself, he said, I will build my church.
Amen.
I will build my church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We've already read that. And it belongs to him because he purchased it with his own blood. So every individual belongs to Jesus because you were purchased by his blood, but we all collectively belong to Jesus as well because he purchased us all with his blood. Jesus Christ is the head. He is the one who directs us. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who instructs us. And as long as we are following what the head says, then we are going the right direction. We want to do what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do. Sometimes though, churches operate disconnected from their head.
Amen.
Have you guys ever heard the expression, he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off? Why? Why do they have that expression? Do you know why? Because sometimes when you cut the head off of a chicken, it will still run around.
Amen.
As though it weren't dead. But it are dead. It just don't know it yet. You know, I'm afraid a lot of churches run around. They're not following their head. They're separated. They're severed from the head. They're separated from Christ. They're still running around. But just like a chicken with no head, they're running around doing nothing. It's chaos. And we can sit here tonight in our pews and we can look out at other churches and say, I can't believe they would act like that. But we should be careful that we always live and operate and do everything with Christ as our head. You know, too many times we say things like, well, I don't like that. I don't prefer that. I don't think this. I don't. Listen, our question shouldn't be what I, but should be what does Christ say?
Amen.
What does Christ say? You say, well, I don't know what he said. Well, yeah, you do, because he gave it to us right here. So our question should be, what does the Bible say? If you want to know what Christ says, we look to the Word of God. It's his Word. And so we look to the Word of God to figure out what the head, Christ, wants us to do. And we will follow him. So Christ is the head. The letter H is Holy Spirit. He is the power of the church. So Christ is the head. The Holy Spirit is the power. You might remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And he goes on and lists all the places in the world, right? The Holy Spirit is our power.
Amen.
It's not my power. It's not your power. It's not our ability. It's not our ambitions. It's not our intellect. It's not even our passion. None of that is what powers the church. We have to be powered by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord, but by the Spirit of God. It's by his Spirit that we're going to accomplish anything. So how does that happen? Well, here you go. If you want the Spirit of God to power the church, then what we have to do is die to ourselves and yield to him.
Amen.
And the more we give up ourselves to God, the more God takes control, and we get to be filled with the Spirit of God to do the work of God.
Amen.
Now, some of you have been saved for a little bit. And you know this. You know that when you try to do it in your own strength, you fail.
Right.
And some of you have been blessed by God with enough wisdom to know that you can't do it in your own strength. And you've learned to yield to God and seek his strength.
Amen.
And we know the difference. But if we're honest, even though we know better, we don't always do better.
Amen.
Sometimes we still try to do it in our own strength. We look at things like finances and buildings and land and limits, and we look at people and numbers and attendance, and we looked at all the limitations of people, all the while forgetting that we serve the limitless God.
Amen.
We look at our strength and our power and our ability, all the while forgetting that He has infinite power, right, and infinite strength and infinite ability. And listen, if we're doing what the head wants us to do, then He's happy to give us the power through His Spirit to do it. So it's Christ the head, the Holy Spirit is the power, the you is the unsaved, and they are our mission.
Amen.
The mission of the church is to reach the lost. What did we just read? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. What are we doing? We're reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the power of the Spirit of God has come into us to give us the ability to go preach the gospel to them. That's what He empowered us for. So our mission is to reach the unsaved. Now, I need you to let that sink in a little bit tonight. Because a lot of us seem to have the idea that church is about me.
Amen.
But it's not about you. It's about Christ the head, and it's about those who don't know Him yet.
Amen.
You're welcome. I knew you wanted to know that. Our focus ought to be on the lost. Our focus ought to be reaching the unsaved. And we can do that every day, can't we?
Amen.
Every day we run across people who don't know Christ. And if we can't do anything else, friends, we can hand somebody a gospel tract and say, hey, please, will you read that? Can I give you some good news? You can leave them places. But even better than that, sometimes God's going to open up a door and let you preach the gospel. I've been really encouraged lately. I keep seeing reports from my pastor friends and friends in other churches around the country and even around the world. People are being saved every week lately. God is moving through the preaching of the gospel. God's been opening up doors here. Every week when we go out door to door, God's been opening doors, allowing us to preach the gospel to people. Some of you have had the chance to talk to your coworkers and people at work. God's just opening doors. He's giving us opportunities. Why? Because some of you are looking for opportunities.
Amen.
And they're there. And they're there. I know I told you before about John Harper. He was on the Titanic. And as the ship began to go down, he wouldn't take a life jacket. He wouldn't get on one of the lifeboats. They were putting the women and children into life rafts. But John Harper was heard running up and down the deck saying, women, children, and unsaved into the lifeboats.
Amen.
Women, children, and unsaved into the lifeboats. What was he saying? He was saying, listen, if you're saved, it's okay if you die. Because you're going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
But if you're not saved, you need to get into the lifeboat and you need to know Christ before you come to eternity.
Amen.
Even when the ship went down, there was one man who stood up and gave his testimony 4 years after it sank at a church meeting. He said, I'm a survivor of the Titanic. He said, I was drifting alone when all of a sudden someone washed over to me and he said, man, are you saved? He said, I can't say that I am. And the man said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the waves carried him away. A little while later, he was washed around again. And John Harper asked the man again, man, are you saved? And he said, no, I'm not. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And then he sunk into the depths. John Harper drowned that night. But that man who was floating and heard him preach the gospel to him was saved. He said, I am John Harper's last convert. Listen, even when he was dying in the icy waters, he was focused on preaching the gospel, reaching the lost. Our mission is the unsaved. John Harper was freezing to death. But he had time to preach Christ to others. How could we possibly be too busy? Christ is the head. The Holy Spirit is the power. The unsaved are our mission. The revelation, R, is revelation. That's the Word of God. It's our authority. God has revealed his truth to us in the written word. He inspired it and he's preserved it. And we have the word of God, the very word of God tonight.
Amen.
In the Bible. It is the word of God. And it is the revelation, the word of God. It is our authority. There are a lot of churches who have all kinds of authorities. You know, the men, we discussed this at length one night, and it was a really good discussion, but we talked about some of the different authorities that churches are governed by. Some churches are ruled by tradition. They've had traditions that have been established over the ages, and tradition dictates to the churches what they should and shouldn't do. Now, that doesn't say that all tradition is bad. Some traditions are good, but it's not our authority. The Word of God is our authority. Some churches are their authority over them are their religious leaders. Maybe the pastor is the authority over the church, or maybe some kind of diocese or some kind of hierarchy is the authority over their church. But we only have one authority, that's Christ and his word. The word of God. Other churches, their authority is culture. And if you'll pay attention to what's going on in America and around the world today, many churches are being ruled by culture. What do I mean by that? Churches look to culture to decide what's right and what's wrong, what they should and what they shouldn't do. They will water down the truth so they don't offend anybody in the world. They'll completely throw out the truth so that they don't offend anybody in the world. They want to make the church as palatable for the lost as possible to make them comfortable. Now, the lost are our mission. The unsaved are who we want to reach, but we don't do that by compromising the truth.
Amen.
A lot of times the cure doesn't taste very good. And sometimes the gospel doesn't taste good to a lost person. But you don't water it down to make it taste better for them. You give it to them in truth and in love. Many churches have all kinds of authority for what they do. Our authority must be the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm thankful for people in this church who care about what the Bible says. It ought to be our question for everything. What does the Bible say? You're trying to figure out what to do? What does the Bible say? You're trying to figure out what not to do? What does the Bible say? Figure out how we ought to act as a church? What does the Bible say? Figure out how we ought to do the business that the Lord's left us to do? What does the Bible say?
Amen.
It's our authority.
Amen.
So Christ is the head. The Holy Spirit is the power. The unsaved are our mission. The revelation is our authority, the Word of God. And the next C is Christians. Christians are the body. Christians are the body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The church, the redeemed, those who belong to Christ, we are the body of Christ. Born again, blood bought, washed, sanctified, regenerated body. We already read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Christ the head has fitly joined together the whole body, and we are compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We're put together by Christ. We fit together. We work together. We serve together. And I thank God for this body of believers. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but this local church is a body of believers.
Amen.
And you may not realize it or not, but we're not perfect.
Right.
But do you know that we can struggle together?
Amen.
Did you know that we can pick up those who have fallen down, that we can comfort those who are hurting, that we can encourage those who are falling behind, that we can help the weak, that we can weep with those who weep, and we can rejoice with those who rejoice.
Amen.
This is a place, friends, where we can rebuke one another and be rebuked.
Amen.
We can encourage one another and we can be encouraged.
Amen.
We can be strengthened by one another and we can strengthen one another.
Amen.
I believe that God has blessed this church, this local church, this body of believers. I believe that you people love each other. I'm going to try that one more time. I believe that you love each other.
Amen.
I believe that most of you even like each other. Amen. But I want you to know we got a lot of growing to do.
Amen.
As a body.
Amen.
I'm afraid some of us are still stuck with this mentality that we got to kind of hide some things when we come to church. We got to come in here and pretend like everything's okay. We can't let anybody know that we're not perfect. I know I've told you before, I want to help you out. We already know. And it doesn't help us to grow together when we pretend like everything's fine. Does it? Listen. We've all had those times on the way to church on Sunday morning. When people in the car on the way here are nearly murdering one another. Somebody's thinking about this past Sunday right now. And you're at each other's throats and things are not good. And then you pull into the parking lot and you open the door and everybody starts smiling. Good morning, Pastor. So glad to be here today. Oh, yes, everything's wonderful. We're just so blessed. You know, sometimes the more you try, the more everybody knows it's a lie. We ought to be honest with each other. We ought to be just be real. We ought to try to help each other to get better. Listen, it shouldn't be the norm that you're all trying to kill each other on your way to church on Sundays. Everybody has bad days, but if that's every Sunday, there's a problem. We want to help you with that.
Amen.
Amen? Thank you. But it's us. We are the church. And I'm amazed sometimes how we talk about church sometimes like it's some other group of people. Like if you're part of this church, you're part of this church. It's you. It's not those people. It's you. And you're connected to them in ways that you're not connected to anyone else on the planet. And it matters that we would know each other and we would love each other and we would serve each other. I'd venture to say that some of you have been in this church a long time and there's still people in the church that you don't know very well. If that's the case, you ought to do something about that. If you've been in this church for very long at all and there are people here that you don't know very well, you should do something about that.
Amen.
You say, well, they ought to do something about it. Well, that's a great attitude. I'm sure we'll get lots of places with that attitude. Or maybe we could humble ourselves and love others.
Amen.
Listen, I know some of you don't like people. I know. I see those hands. These aren't people. We're part of the same body. And Christ is our head. All right. The last H stands for heaven. It's our hope. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. He is our hope and our salvation. He is our great God and our Savior, and we have hope eternal in Jesus Christ. Amen. That means for the church, we want to have an impact in the world. Okay, let me try that again. We want to have an impact in the world. Amen. A good impact, a positive impact. An impact of bringing people to Christ, an impact of making disciples who make disciples, an impact of multiplying disciples and multiplying churches. We want to have a gospel impact in the world. Amen. Amen. Yes, we do. But listen, this world is not our home. Amen. And it's certainly not our hope. Amen. Our hope is Christ. Our hope is heaven. Our hope is eternity with Him. And we can only dream of what God has in store for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27, we're going to end with this verse. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Bodies that move together, work together, can accomplish great things. Amen. But if we're not moving together, if we're not growing together, if we're not serving together, then we're going different directions and we can't accomplish anything. You matter. The local church matters. And it's still God's plan for accomplishing His purposes in this age. It's still through the local church. I thank God for the local church. Amen. I want you to think, as we get ready for a verse of invitation tonight, I want you to think about this. Most of you have been impacted in tremendous ways by a local church. Amen. It was probably people from a local church that brought you the gospel, taught you about who Christ was, where you were baptized, where you grew in spiritual maturity, probably where you got married, probably where you've raised your kids, probably where you've learned the most important things in your life were in the local church. So thank God for the church, but be part of the church and do your part in the church. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.